Acts chapter number 9, verses 11 through 13, and verse number 27. Living with the threat of it. Who among us this morning that doesn't have something, a it, that in spite of you praying, fasting, declaring, decreeing, it just won't go away? Maybe your it this morning is that tattoo when you were young. You put it on your neck, you thought it was cool, now you need a job. Maybe your it is when you were a juvenile, you were arrested, and it just won't go away.
Amen.
Or maybe your it has to do with a profession that involved a pole that you're not proud of anymore. Whatever your it is, it's not too hard for God. You have to be careful that you don't allow people to put you in a box. People love to bring up your past. People love to talk about what you used to do, where you used to go, and who you used to do it with. And the truth of the matter is, I don't have issues with people talking about my past. I have issue when I'm crazy enough to go back and relive it. Because I can't change what has happened. And the truth of the matter is, I'm not even sure if I would change it if I could. What you've gone through in life was needed, necessary, and permitted by God in order to make you the person that you are today.
Amen.
If you take one thing out of your past, you will not be the person that you are right now. So everything that you've gone through, it was necessary to get you to. You had to go through all of that so that God can shape you, mold you into the person He desires for you to be. See, God is not always interested in the comfort level when you begin to go through something. Because as we begin to go through something, we always want to tell God, you could have got the same result out of me without taking me through hell. And God is saying, no, baby, I could not have. Because unless I broke you, I couldn't use you. When God breaks you, then you understand that it is necessary for God to then pick you back up. Sometimes God has to kill you. Not mess up your name. Not make you unemployed. Sometimes God literally has to kill you spiritually in order to resurrect you. When God kills you, you need to understand God then has the power to pick you up. Now, when God kills you and pick you up, what God is trying to do is that God is trying to develop you. He's trying to mold you this time like He wants you to be. We look at a lot of people in life and we know their past. We know their reputation. And then that person come to church, join the church, and is on fire for the Lord. And we say, isn't that the same one used to sell dope? Isn't that the same one that used to do prostitution? And God is saying, yes, that's what I want you to think of that person, so that when you see me moving in and through that person, you'll give him the glory. Or Saul was a young man that had permission from the government authority to kill Christians. That's what he was known for. One day, Paul was traveling on a road to Damascus. On the road that he was traveling at high noon, when the sun, S-U-N, was shining, he still saw the Son, S-O-N, of God, who came to speak to him. When Jesus showed up in Saul's life, he said, Saul, you don't hear me. Saul, you still don't hear me. Saul, he says, why do you persecute me? And Saul is thinking, perhaps, I don't know you, Jesus. I don't have anything to do with you. I don't want anything else to do with you. But notice how Jesus personalized stuff when someone offends you. He didn't say, why do you persecute that person? He says, why do you persecute me? Now, the Bible says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. When somebody put their mouth on you, a child of God, Jesus steps in and say, why do you persecute me? Because what happens to you, they are doing it unto him. Remember, you changed your name. You says, I don't want to be called Bates or Smith or Jones anymore. Just call me Christian. So now your daddy and your brother takes offense when somebody mess with you. I wish somebody heard me this morning. So every time you begin to go through something, take a step back. Some of you have the privilege of having a big brother. Now, my brother's no bigger than I am. He's just older. But if you really have a big brother, when you were a child and you were going through something, you went home and told your big brother. And when you told your big brother went to school the next day and he settled all the scores. I came to tell somebody that you have the privilege when you're going through something to go home, get on your bending knees and tell your big brother all about it. And if you want access to God, just do it through your big brother's name. In the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. In the name of Jesus, he says, I'll supply all of your needs. See, we have needs without understanding that Jesus wants to do something about them. So here it is, Saul is traveling on the road to Damascus. He meets Jesus. Jesus says to him, why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the prick? In other words, why do you go against what I'm trying to do in your life? I wonder if there's any Psalms in here this morning where God is trying to do one thing in your life, but you kicking against the prick. Where God is trying to take you to another level, but people keep telling you that you can't do it, and so you believe that, so now you kicking against the prick. You know, the Bible says, let God be true, and every man a lie. Now, what does it mean by letting God be true? Is that it means for you to believe him, follow him, be obedient to him, and trust him and walk after him. So every time you allow God to have his way, you are allowing God to be true and every man a lie. Because people can't see the vision that God has placed inside of you. That's why you keep sharing your business with people and they keep telling you, I don't see how that can happen. I'm glad you don't see how that can happen. So when it does happen, we'll give credit to God because I can't even see it either. But we have to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm glad you don't see how I'm going to get out of this mess. So when I come through, you'll know we're going to give God some show enough praise, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, if God had not brought me out of this thing, I don't know where I'd be today. Amen. Jesus says to Saul, why do you kick against the prick? And then he begins to demask Saul on the road to Damascus. I wonder how many fake folk that we have in here where you thought you had gotten away with something and God demasked you. I wonder how many people in here, you were going through something and you said, Lord, don't let that thing don't let that thing be found out. And the first thing that God did was open the door. I wonder how many people in here this morning, you found yourself going through something and God had to strip you. You see, because God is a jealous God, He'll never compete with you to bless you. And so what God does is God takes a seat and He allows you to go. And you bump your head and you run out of money. And friends stab you in the back and you go through hell. And in the midst of going through all that, God says, now you're ready for me. Yeah, God, I'm ready. And He says, now if you'll sit down and let me stand up, if you'll abide in me and allow me to abide in you, I promise you I'll deliver you. I promise you I'll be your bridge over troubled water. I promise you I'll give you an escape. So here it is, Saul found himself going through something. And as Saul was going through something, now Jesus spoke to Ananias. He told Ananias, I'm going to take you to a young man by the name of Saul, by the name of Paul. Now Saul is the man that everybody knows about. And so Ananias says, God, you're going to send me to Saul to do what? Has God ever called you to go and talk to a person and you say, do you really want me to go talk to that one? Has somebody ever offended you and then God told you to go apologize to them? Come on, God. Do you know what they did to me and you want me to apologize? He said, yeah, because I need somebody to see the God in you. I need somebody to understand that you're willing to turn the other cheek. I need somebody to understand that when they think that you are weak, my grace is making you stronger and stronger and stronger, and I'm going to deliver you. And when I deliver you, through the impossible, through the storms of life, when God delivers you, they'll know nobody but God delivers you. Go see Ananias. And the Bible declares that Ananias then said unto the Lord, he says now in verse number 13, listen to what Ananias said, because Ananias is us today. Then Ananias answered, he's talking to the Lord. Now he says to the Lord, I have heard by many of this man. Sometimes your reputation never stops following you. When I come to church, it's a new church and a new city, and I don't know anybody in the church, and so I get a fresh start. And the first day I come to church, somehow I see Sister Louise from way back who always know my business. So every time you try to get away from your past, somebody is always bringing it up. You have to understand that sometimes God will allow that to happen so that somebody will know where you came from, so that when He brings you through and gets you to, they'll understand nobody did that but God. You see, Saul had a reputation of just being bad with church folk. And see, some of us, we too holy to acknowledge that we too are bad with church folk. We don't call ourselves Saul. We don't say we persecute the church. We just stab one another in the back. We just call everybody everything but a child of God. We just go home after church and talk about your dress, but we won't offer to buy you another one, understanding that's the only dress that you have. We won't pray for you. We'll just talk about how you look and how you smell, but we won't offer any godly love. But we're not persecuting the church. We're not like Paul. We're better than that. Yeah, right. Right. God begins to deal with Ananias. God says to Ananias, he says, go into the street called Straight, and I'll show you a young man by the name of Paul. At the same time God is dealing with Ananias, God is also dealing with Saul. So what God does is he shows Saul a vision. Watch this. When God shows Saul a vision, the people in his life becomes afraid of him. God has shown somebody here something this morning. And when you told somebody, you think they really don't like you, but they are afraid of the dreams that God has given you. You have a calling on your life. That is, God is telling you to do something. When God begins to call you, or God call you into something, the first thing that will happen in your calling is that your calling, your anointing will always be tested. Because somebody don't believe what you're saying. Because somebody remember where you came from. So somebody wants to see for themselves, are you really telling the truth this time? Because you know you joined the other church, and you know you gave yourself to Christ again many years ago, so they just do it all the time. But one time God is going to hit you, and it's going to be real. And this time, when God gives you a vision, you got to understand he's going to give you provision. When God shows you something, God is willing to pay for what he showed you. Don't try to figure it out. He wants you to walk by faith and not by sight. But man will tell you, I don't believe it, so they'll always test your calling. Whenever you test somebody's calling, you have to understand they didn't call themselves, but God called them. And when God calls you, God will also equip you for the task. And so here it is, Saul. God, point number one, called him. When God called him, the next thing that happened is that he ran into Ananias. And Ananias told Jesus, says, I have heard by many of this man. When God calls you, a conflict will always follow. In the midst of going through something, and there's a conflict in your life, understand the conflict is to confirm that you were calling. When we begin to go through something and we run into conflict, we want to sit down and quit. Don't quit when you run into a conflict in life, because it's the conflict that says you're on the right road. If you're going through something and there's no hell, there's no resistance, there's no pushing, Satan is not afraid of you because you're traveling straight to hell. But when you begin to go through something and you understand that there is resistance in your life, but you got to press just a little harder. The harder you press, the more things God will move in your life. But as you begin to go through something and the conflicts that shows up in your life, you got to understand the conflicts is not bigger than the God that you serve. And so you got to keep on pushing your way through that thing. And so what Saul says is, I understand you may not believe me, but I'm going to press my way. What he understood is this old song, a charge to keep I have, a charge to keep I have. God charged you to do that. You got to live up to it, because the God will be glorified in the end when you come through. You can't allow people to stop you. If you wait for folks to get aboard of your vision and your dream, you're going to be waiting a long time. You got to step out there even though you find yourself standing by yourself. You got to stand even when your best friend walk out on you. You got to stand even when nobody understands you and the thing doesn't even make sense to you. But you got to know that if God said it, he shall. He shall establish the thing. For God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. For if God said it, it shall be done. I'm talking to somebody. You trying to figure it out? It shall be done. How you going to get out of debt? I don't know. But it shall be done. How you going to get out of that bad relationship? I don't know. But it shall be done. How you going to get a job in this bad economy? I don't know. But it shall be done. Because God is saying the conflict is to give you assurance.
Amen.
That I'm calling you.
Hallelujah.
Now, the last point is this. And that is, after Saul understand that he was called by God, he runs into a conflict. And then in verse number 27, God placed in his life a cheerleader. I know we don't understand that. Because most of the time, when God bless you with something good, folks don't cheer for you. That's why we don't get it. The next time God bless you, stop praising, turn around, and see who's happy with you. Now, remember, Saul is still in a vision. Now, when you're in a vision, sometimes you see things and you don't know whether or not they're real. So, God blessed me, and Jeff knew that God blessed me. But I looked around, and my friend Jeff wasn't praising God with me. He was over there talking to Ray about it can't be real. Because I remember when. See, when you begin to go through something and God delivers you, God will always put a cheerleader in your life. Somebody that is happy because you're happy. Somebody that can give God some praise because they know that they're next in line. Somebody who's not afraid to praise God right with you. I love to see folk praising God with other folk. Because when God does one thing, he's able to do the same thing for somebody else. So you sit there and you act surprised because you think you caught up in a vision. And so you look around and what you discover is everybody's not happy. Some folk begin to hate on you. Everybody isn't happy when God delivers you. Some folk really do hate on you. You got some haters in your life. You got some folk in your life that every time God does something good, they begin to hate on you. Every time God delivers you, they begin to talk about you. And the problem is, the more that they hate you, the more that God begins to do for you. Every now and then, you need to stop. And as you begin to praise God, you need to praise the haters in your life and tell them, if you had not lied on me, I would not have been receiving this blessing. If you had not stabbed me in the back, I had not. It was good that I was afflicted. Every time you afflicted me, I got closer to God. Every time you lied on me, I had to lean in, depend on him more. Every time you walked out on me, I had to abide in him, understanding that he was going to abide in me. Every time you did something wrong, God turned that thing around. Have you ever tried God, and God took your very enemies and made them your footstool? The same lie they told, somehow that lie lifted you up. Won't God make a way out of no way? Have you ever tried the Lord? Won't God do the supernatural in your life? You see, but sometimes we're waiting to see how God is going to do it. I can tell you how God is going to do it. God is saying, you got to learn to live with the threat of it. You know, sometimes the it no longer fit in your life. Now, I did it way back then, but I'm a changed person, but I can't get rid of it. And God is saying, some things I'm not going to remove from your life. Some habits I'm not going to remove. You saved, sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, and still an alcoholic. I know some of you are very spiritual, and you don't get that, because somebody told you that when you come to Christ, that God will free you from everything. That's why I want to preach about this, Paul, because I want you to understand that you got to live with the threat of it. That is your reputation. That is to understand, even though you're a child of God, there's some stuff you will never be free from. Now, it doesn't mean that God is not God, but it means that where you are weak, he graces you right there. As long as God is gracing me, I know it's not me, because I'm not supposed to come through, but he's gracing you somewhere. He's making a way. He's giving you favor, and he's delivering you. Now, when God begins to grace you, you have to understand that you got to stay obedient to God. And that is, I don't believe what I see. I believe because my faith is telling me. And so you got to walk out your faith. Now, obedience is better than sacrifice. When you are obedient to God, some stuff that other folk going through, sacrifices they have to make, pay this bill or pay that bill, because you're obedient to God, baby, you don't have to make that choice. You can pay this one and that. that one and still have an overflow. I came to talk to somebody in this place today that is living in an overflow. Somebody today, while the whole world is going through hell, you still doing wonderful. Because if it had not been for the Lord on your side, I came to talk this morning to some blood-washed believers, some folks that know that God is not connected with the economy. I came to talk to somebody who got stuck in a mess, who been like Saul, been like Paul. Your past is jacked up, but God is saying, walk past your past, baby. Walk past your past, because I got a plan for you. And my plan for you is that I want to take you somewhere. And when I begin to take you, I need for you to understand, no good thing will I withhold from you. No good thing will I withhold from you. If you're bold enough to ask God for it, God is bold enough to do it. I wish I was talking to some believers that know that God will do the supernatural in this place. I wish I could talk to some folks who know that God will take you beyond your little abilities. I wish I could talk to some folk who look back at your past and know where you came from and know where God has landed you today and know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where would you be? You know you didn't deserve the career that you had. You know you don't deserve where you are. But God is saying, but I favor you. But God, I don't understand. And he's saying, but I favor you because you are the apple of my eye. I know the hell that you've been through, but I'll fight your battles. I know the stuff you've been through, but I'll make a way out of nowhere. I know what they said, but I'll erase all that. You gotta try the Lord. You gotta try the Lord. You gotta try the Lord. In closing, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this because I want you to tell Satan this. Okay. I want you to tell Satan he should have killed you while he had the chance. Yeah. You remember when you were broke? You remember when you were stretched out on that surgery table? You remember when all your friends walked out on you? You remember when you were so afraid? Go ahead and tell Satan, you should have killed me right there. Tell him, don't be afraid of him. Tell him, tell him, tell him, he should have killed you right there. Because now, God has walked me out of that. Oh, baby. You should have killed me then because my mind is made up.
Hallelujah.
I know what God would do. God will grace me. I have to stay obedient and I have to have determination. Now, determination is a made up mind.
Amen.
Notice I said a made up mind because the battlefield is the mind. And so where Satan will come is always in the mind and tell you what may happen. He'll allow you to look at the threats. But I came to encourage someone that you got to live with the threats. You got to live with the threat of unemployment. You got to live with the threat of them walking out. You got to live with the threat of your child not coming out right. You got to live with all those threats. But they are just that. Threats. Don't even worry about the possibilities from Satan, because if he could, he would have killed you right then. And if God wanted to kill you, God would have killed you then. You're here for a purpose. That hell that you've been through, the reason I didn't take you out, because God was bringing you in. He was bringing you in so he can be a blessing to you. He was bringing you in because he says, no good things will I withhold. He was bringing you in because he wanted you to understand, even though the threat is there, no weapon that is formed against you. Come on and give him some praise. Come on and stand in this place this morning and give him some praise. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Give him a sanctified praise this morning. Give him a sanctified praise this morning. Give him a praise this morning, like you a blood-washed believer. Give him a praise this morning, like he delivered you. Give him a praise this morning, like you glad that God was on your side. Give him a praise this morning, that you're thankful for your job. Give him a praise this morning, that you're thankful for your health and strength. Give him some praise this morning. to live with the threat of it.
Yes.
Whatever your it is, learn to live with it. If God doesn't take it, His grace is sufficient. If your situation never changed, God is sufficient. God is still God in spite of what it looks like. One of the things I'm learning in life is that what you're going through is not as important as how you deal with it. It's not about what you're going through. How do you see it? How do you see it? God, this will never change. He'll answer that prayer too. But if you have the faith to go through something, believing that it would never change, why don't you be crazy enough to go through something and believing that God is going to change His thing? And even if He doesn't change it, He'll change me. And if He changed me and the hail and the storm is still around me, I got a peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Yeah, my credit is jacked up, but I still got peace. Yeah, I got cancer, but I still got peace. Yeah, I got live with some things, but I still got the peace of God. And God is saying, but I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. It is in your weakness that His grace is manifest. You're going through something and you don't know how to live with it. God will do supernatural things with you if you just believe Him. I want to do something this morning. I want to open the doors of the church. I want the deacons to come forth, and I want you to examine yourself. And I want to speak to the person here this morning who doesn't know Christ for themselves. I want to talk to that person. That person that in this year you said, I got a made up mind. I'm going to press into God. I'm going to get to know God. I backslid, but I'm going to change that thing. I'm going to turn that thing around. I want to talk to you this morning, because what I want to do this morning is open the doors of the church and tell you to run to God this morning. I want you to run to God this morning. If you hear, God is saying, if you are ashamed, embarrassed to me, He says, on that day, I'll look at you and say, I never did. When Jesus died on the cross, He paid the price. He paid it in full. He says, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, you have eternal life. Am I talking to someone this morning who doesn't have a church home? You need to reestablish your relationship with God? I want you to come this morning, just as you are. You don't have to fix anything. You don't have to go home and change anything. He says, come as you are. Bring your sins, bring your troubles, bring your threats, bring everything to Him. And He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care about you. If you will throw it over to Him, watch Him work it out. The stuff you're trying to get out of, He says, if you just leave it, press into me, then lay it at my doorstep. He'll do it. With everyone this morning. Sure about your relationship with God? Or maybe you are. You just need a church home. If that's you, we invite you to come this morning. With everyone? No church home? Not sure about your relationship with God? We invite you to come. With everyone this morning?